Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Dalet, and we are holding right on the bottom of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. So just to put us back into the sugya, let's remember that, of course, we've examined the various types of things of bittul. We talked about the various iser of things where there are bittul. We've talked about the different nature of chashivas in which the rabbanim were geizer that there shouldn't be any bittul, whether it's a dover or a dover sheyesh bo minyan, which was the most recent that we said, anything that might be sold by actual unit, whether it's es shedarka limana is exclusively by minyan, or kol shedarka limana is, which is normally by minyan, or maybe like the chachamim of shishadvarim, of dafka, or Rabbi Akiva, including shivadvarim, he wouldn't want to get into trouble with his wonderful Rachel. After all, she baked beautiful challahs, and that was kikre shobalabayis, which will never be bato. And then the last thing that we learned was the way in which rov works. So we spoke about actual bittul barov in terms of tarov, as in terms of mixture. We talked about called the parish miruba kaparish, which is a completely different concept, although it's based on the same idea of acharei rabim. And we talked about the idea of kol kavua kemechza al mechza dami. And we talked about the question, the last thing that we had was the issue of if something was nesar, because the Rabbanan decided that you mustn't be mevatalit, what would happen if it was actually brought? Since midyaraisa, it was kosher, and these are chumras that the Rabbanan added to the dinim of bittul, could they become batal if the Kohen brought it up onto the Mizbeach, although he shouldn't have? So what we learned yesterday was that Rava said that actually once the Rabbanan said that it's Usser, so then it's not even Meratzah. We saw that there was a Machlokas we had in some of the Rishonim, the Rabbeinu Manoach particularly, who says that you'd actually be mechuyev to bring an additional carbon. The problem with that issue, which was the question of how can the Rabbanim be matir you to bring chulin la'azora, which is an actual lisser, and the Rabbanim cannot be matir something, b'kum v'aseh. And we gave a number of different approaches, including actually the Chazon Ish and others who say that you cannot bring another carbon, and the only issue over here is whether or not it's edible, but it's certainly not roy for another carbon. Alone, sir, alone, not our alone in the car, but our alone of recently returned vintage Eretz Yisrael. May he please mute himself. And welcome, though. We're happy to have you. Maybe he does not mute himself. Maybe I should try leaving him. Mute. No. Don't know why it doesn't. I don't know. I used to be able to mute, and now I can't. Okay. Anyway, getting on. So the problem was, with that last statement of Rava, we had a question from a Mishnah, in which the Mishnah actually said, this was the Mishnah in Kinim. We've been going over a lot of Mishnayos here, whether it's from Temura, Kinim, Avodah Zarah, Orla. We've had a very full couple of days of Mishnayos. And we showed in Kinim that actually it would not be permanently usher. And if the Kohen, these of course were all the cases that we had back in Kinim, the fundamental issue, if the Kohen went ahead and he brought mechza l'mala and mechza l'mata, then there would be pasul. But otherwise, if he brought the olos l'mala, he brought everything l'mala, the olos would be kosher. According to Rava, it shouldn't be. So we answered that enochinami, that's going according to Nandi Omar, that ba'alei chayim einandi dachim. That was the last thing that we were talking about, was the question of dihui here. So now, the question yesterday we settled by saying that it could be, there's no problem because Kinim is going according to the Mandi Omarot's Ba'alei Chayim, or Einani Dachin, and Rava was going according to the Mandi Omar Ba'alei Chayim Nidachim. But the problem today is on the very last line of Amud Beis, is that this answer is not going to help you very much if you're talking about Shchutim. And Shchutim, once the animal is shechted, kulei alma is baida. That, of course, that is, there's a concept of nidachin. That's the regular concept of dichui. And the truth is that even though the shchutim, we have the same exact case, which teaches us, Utnan, this is actually also a Mishnah, but it's a Mishnah right here in Zvachim that we're going to be having later. We're going to be having on Shabbos. I think it works out on Shabbos, but it's on Shabbos. And it says over there that Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Im Karava Roshel Echad Meyem, Yikrevu Kol Haroshim. So Rabbi Eliezer said that in the event that there was a mixture of a Balmum with a Tamima, that if you have, and this is talking about where there were already Shochut, we discovered the Mum, if Karava Roshel Echad Meyem, so now we got a mixture of all kinds of korbanos of pieces. So Rabbi Eliezer says, well, look, if the Kohen brought one of the heads, so then you can bring all of the heads, and so on. So whatever type of Aver was brought, you can rely on the fact that we'll assume that the one that was brought was the one that was Aser, and therefore we have what to be Senechan, and it's going to be okay. How could it be okay? It was already, according to Rava, it was already decided that it's usher to bring these. So it's all very nice to say that, well, but we can rely that that one was brought, but it's too late because of Dichui. And if Rava is correct, that when the Rabbanan say not to bring it because of the problem of Bitul Berov, or we don't say because of our Gezerah, I've called the Parsh Meruba Kaparsh, because of the Gezerah, maybe you'll take it from the Kavua, the whole discussion we had yesterday. If that's enough to make something Dachui, so then how do we explain Reb Eliezer that says that you can bring all of the Rashim? And that was just the question of whether you can rely on the fact that the Rosh that was brought was the Rosh that was Osir Lechatchila. The Rosh that was from the animal that was the Balmum. But there doesn't seem to be any discussion over here about the problem of Dichui. There's just that problem of whether you can rely. We're taking for granted that it would not be Dichui. And here you can't tell me it's because of Balei Chayim, because usually when heads are cut off, they're not Balei Chayim. And therefore, we've got a problem with Rava. Answers the Gemara. There is yet another shita about Dichui. It's true that we have a machlokas about whether Balei Chayim nidachim or not. And it's true that the general accepted halachas that even Balei Chayim are nidachim. However, there is the shita of Hanana Mitzri. And that is a famous shita of Hanana Mitzri, who does not buy into the concept of Dichui at all. Forget about the difference of Balei Chayim. He doesn't hold of Dichui, and we had this discussion, Binogea the Dinim, of matching up on Yom Kippur, that we needed to have the Sa'ir HaMishtaleach matching up with the Sa'ir LaHashem. And according to all of the shitas that we had met up until Hanan HaMitzri, if something would happen, let's say the Azazel would have died, you need to now bring a new carbon for the Azazel in order to be able to bring the Korban LaHashem. So it's a machlokes. At what point do you need to start over again? Do you need to make a new pair and now do a new goral and so on? But certainly once it was already shechted and you were mekabel the dam of the Sa'ir Bifnim, and then suddenly the Sa'ir LaHazazel drops dead, how can you possibly use that dam? The moment that the Sa'ir LaHazazel died, that dam became nitcha from the Mizbeach. There, for sure, you'd have to start over, right? No, not according to Hanana Mitzri. Hanana Mitzri says, afilu dam bakos. You've already been mekabel the dam of the Sa'ir Bifnim, the Sa'ir LaHashem, and all you need to do is buy another matching one. You bring it in, and Mizaviglo, you say, here is the new Sa'ir LaHazazel, which is the partner to the Sa'ir LaHashem, and you just go right ahead and you're mevi that dam. We know that dam was definitely Dichui, so obviously Hanana Mitzri does not hold of Dichui at all. Okay, so that basically seems to address the problems of Rava. We've got three different approaches. If Rava is correct and Balei Chayim Nidachim, so then once the Chachamim said you can't bring it, then it's already Dochui, and even if you brought it, it wouldn't be Chal. And as we spoke about, maybe that only means the Gabi Achil, or maybe it even means, like the Rabbeinu Manoach, that you'd have to bring a new Karma. And then we have the Shita of the Tana in Kinim, who holds that Balei Chayim Einan Nidachim. And therefore, if it's talking about a live carbon, and Kinim, of course, it was talking about birds, then it would be okay if Bidiavad, the Kohen, went ahead and brought it. Why should it not be okay? You're right, he shouldn't have, but shouldn't is not Dichui. Dichui means that it would have been not kosher at that point. And shouldn't doesn't mean that. And nonetheless, what we say over there is that since it's Balei Chayim, there's not a problem at all. The third shita that we just had now is the Hanana Mitzri shita, that even if it was something that wasn't a Balei Chayim, it would also be true that there's no concept of Dichui. Then, of course, Rava wouldn't have applied at all, because Rava is only saying his Svara based on the fact that since you couldn't, since you shouldn't, therefore it's the equivalent of you couldn't. And we talked about why that would be true, but in any event, that was Rava Shita, and now we see where it's appropriate to say Rava Shita and where it would make no sense, because Dichui wouldn't apply. Now, there's another question, and that is, we just spoke about, and this is a beautiful, actually, segue, from the Din of Hanan, from the din of Reb Eliezer, rather, who was going like Hanana Mitzri. But Reb Eliezer's din was that once you are able to be tole, so you can assume that your iser is in the thing that was destroyed. So that was the case in which if one of the Rushim was brought on the Mizbeach, then you are no longer going to be machmer with all of these chumers that we had, not to allow you to bring the other Rashim. Bring the other Rashim because of the concept of tolin, that the iser is in the part that was lost. Reb Nachman says that Rav actually extended that. The Omer Reb Nachman, Omer Rav Avarvua, Omer Rav. This would be true even in the case of Avodas Kerchovim. So let's say you had kishute avodah zarah, which are never bato, and one of these, there was a ring that was being worn by an idol, and it fell into another 100 of such rings. V'nafla achat miyam liyam agado, one of them falls into the ocean, huchu kulam, all the rest are mutter. Why? De amrinan hach de nafal, Hainu di Isura. So basically, since Midia Raisa, we could go by Rove even in the din of Avodah Zarah. And of course, even though we're very machmir, even in 1 in 10,000, but that is only a din in the Diaraisa, in the Derabbanan. But Midia Raisa, it would actually be mutter. So if one of them falls into the Yam and is therefore lost forever, unless Bilbo comes along, but normally it would be lost forever, and therefore you can assume that the others are all mutter, because it's always those nasty rings. They're the ones that lose themselves, and therefore you can be semich that that's the one that was lost. Now the question is, how in the world does that work according to our Mishnah? Esvei Rav Elor Nachman. It says in our Mishnah that even if one animal gets mixed in with 10,000 kosher karbanas, and one of these are one animal, which is Yisurei Anoch, Atas Hameis, says they should all die. What do you mean they should all die? The first one that dies died. That's great. Now let's be Taylor. That first one that died was the one that was usher. That doesn't have perfectly good sense. I mean, why is dying different than falling into the ocean? So it makes no sense. They don't all die instantaneously, do they? So when you say yamutu kulam, I mean, it's ridiculous. There'll never be a case where yamutu kulam. So the first one that dies, neima demit, is the suramit. So it's, I mean, wow, what a beautiful raya, that it's an impossible concept. Omar Leiser Nachman said to Rava, who was saying, how could you be quoting such a thing from Rav if it makes no sense in the Mishnah? No, Rav was going like the Reb Eliezer that we learned just before. Because Ditznan, which as I said, we're going to have later on this week, Ditznan, maybe Mitzvah Shabbos, Ditznan, it says over there, that Reb Eliezer Omer, Actually, I think it comes out on Sunday, but all right, so next week. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Im Karava Rosh El Echad Mehem, Yikaravu Kol HaRashim Kulam. Now, that was Dafka, the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. So Rav was saying, Aliba, the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer later, who holds that you can be Tylin, and therefore, if one of the heads was brought on the Mizbeach, you can assume that was the one that you shouldn't have brought. So too is true over here. If one of the rings falls in, it's the ring that was Usser. Says Rav, now wait a minute. That's not true. Because, you know, there is actually a Hesber, don't get mixed up, between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Elazar explained the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, that where did Rabbi Eliezer say that we rely on this Tolin, and we say that the one that was brought was the one that was Usser, and now you can go right ahead and do whatever you want. It didn't say you can do whatever you want. What he said is that you can be matir bringing two of these karbonas at the same time. So if one of the heads fell in, so then you can be matir bringing two heads for hakrava. Why? Because one of them is definitely kosher. So since one is kosher, now we can assume, okay, so let's bring it and assume that the one that was already burnt on the Mizbeach, maybe I shouldn't have done it, but that must have been the Isser one. But if you don't have this additional concept of migos, since I'm already bringing one korban that's kosher for sure, because only one fell in, so there couldn't have been an additional head, and if it was a two-headed animal, it would have been a baal mum anyway, so we don't have to worry about that case. So anyway, it's only if he brings two at a time. Ela shnayim shnayim, havel echad echad lo. And you said that what it was that Ravit said was that you could use any of these other rings. So that means you could sell them one at a time, take the money, be nene from the money. But why? Even Rabbi Eliezer, according to our authoritative explanation of Rabbi Eliezer from Rabbi Elazar, was that you would have to also have the migo that at least part of what it is you have is definitely kosher. So Rabbi Nachman said, yes, of course, I took that into consideration. All that I mentioned was that Rav holds that the same concept is applicable to a ring. That's all, even though it's Avodah Zarah. Obviously, if it needs to be two at a time, that's what he was talking about too. Anatartika, I mean, all I said was that it would be moot to the concept if indeed you would only be able to bring two, so then you'd have to sell two rings at a time, and then you'd be able to be nene from the money that you get in exchange. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, well, speaking of Avodah Zarah rings, it also was said by Rav that Tabat shel Avodat Kochavim shenit arva. It's important here to remember that we should put in the Amar Rav Yehuda, which is brought here in the Shinei Nischos, because later on we're going to see that Rav Yehuda said the same thing, and that's normally what happens. Rav Yehuda said something in the name of Rav, and then he said over to Shmuel after Rav's death, when Rav Yehuda became a Talmud of Shmuel, he said it over Likame de Shmuel. So that's standard. So it's probable that the Shinei Nischos is correct, because that's what's going to happen later on in our circuit. That's why I say Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Suppose you have a ring of Avodah Zarah, which means not that it was worship, but that it's Kishute Avodah Zarah, which, by the way, is in a sense more chomer than Avodah Zarah itself. Because if a goy is mevatel the Avodah Zarah, remember that you could be mevatel in Avodah Zarah. But the Kishutim, you can't be mevatel the Kishutim. So if you have this Tabat of Avodah Kochavim, now it gets mixed up with, let's say, 100 other taba'ot. Now, that mixture is now split into 40 and 60. So you just arbitrarily split it up. 40 of those rings go into one wallet, 40 of the rings go into another wallet, and now one of the 40 rings falls into another pile of rings. That ring that fell out is not going to Asr the rings that it fell into. which seems to be based on the same sort of idea, that since we have most of those rings, 60 out of 100, in a different wallet, and only one out of the 40 fell in, so therefore we'll also be tailing. And we'll be tailing not because it was destroyed, which was, of course, the basis of the halakhas we've been talking about until now, but we'll be tailing because the rove was in a different place. And even though we will not be matir the 40 rings by being tailing, because we already asered them, and it wasn't destroyed. If the 60 had been destroyed, we would have been. But they were not destroyed. They're in another wallet. And Reb Eliezer and Rav only said their din when it fell to the bottom of the ocean. But over here, the next step, if one ring falls out from these 40, so now it's yet another mixture, then it's not going to aser it. But on the other hand, if one of the 60 rings falls into another tarovas, it will aser it. What? Well, I don't understand. If this is based on the concept of tolim, then what's the difference? I'm assuming that the reason that if one of the 40 rings falls out, it doesn't aser another taruvas is why? Because we're tolim, and we say, you know what? It's more reasonable to say that the iser is in the 60, because that was the rove. Therefore, let's assume that, and therefore it's not going to aser. But, I mean, if you're looking for tolim, remember, tolim was, even if one of the heads was brought, even if one of the rings fell into the ocean. So it should be the other direction also. Even if one of the rings of the 60 falls. I mean, you've got another 99 rings on the wall before. I mean, why can't we assume that the aser ring is over there? And therefore, isura baruba isay. In the remaining rings, and even in the 60, there's 59 rings left behind that didn't fall. So if you're saying that we can rely on tolim, it doesn't really matter whether it's the 40 or the 60, does it? Okay, that's true. So Rav doesn't make much sense. So let's actually revise what it was that Rav said. What he must have said was like this. Im parshu arba'im kulam l'makor echad. Let's say all of the 40 goes into another mixture. They do not aser the entire second mixture. But if the shishim go to a makom echad, then they do aser the entire mixture. So this isn't a completely different issue. And it seems to be, you know, we're going to see that this is based on another yesod, which we'll talk about in a moment. And what we're saying is, Pashtas, is that since the 60 is the rov, we can assume when it comes to the second mixture that the iser is in the 60 and not in the 40. So that makes a little bit of sense. If Shishim, the 60, fall into one place, all of them, not one comes from them, then they do aser because, again, we're going to take for granted that it's the one that is the rove that fell into this mixture. So we have one suffix, and we'll paskin that suffix based on the rove. Now, says Rabbi Yehuda, so this is why I say there must have been an Omar Rabbi Yehuda earlier. So says Rav Yehuda, without even saying Omer Rav Yehuda, Ki amrita kamei de Shmuel, when I said over this mimer of my previous Rebbe while he was alive, Rav, I said it over to my new Rebbe Shmuel. He said to me, No. Anach l'avodat kochavim. You can't mention this idea of being tailing when it comes to Avodah Zorah, because the difference over here, I don't care how many sfeikot there are, if whether it would be one suffix or whether it would be a suffix about a suffix. I don't care how many they are. Asura at sofa olam. Because in the same way that we've got a concept of even echad ribo is usur, a sveik sveika, no matter how many additional suffix that you create, those suffix are actually the same as just rov, right? The additional sfeikus being rov of the chances are that you're going to actually not be dealing with the iser. So it's sort of the same halacha. There's some that actually relate the two halachas directly, that sfeik sfeika is related to the whole concept of rov. But in any event, here, the difference between the 40 and the 60 should be irrelevant. So let's consider. The point is that if something falls, the 40 fall into another 100. I take out a ring. So I have a sfeik sfeika. The ring that I took out, was that from the rings that was there originally? Or is that from the 40 rings, which were us? Suffix number one. Now, even in the event that it was from the 40 rings, is it the ring of the 40 rings that was usher, which is another suffix? So basically, we're going to be moderate because of sfeik sfeika. That's why we are relying on the whole 40 falling into somewhere else that it doesn't usher it. To which Shmuel replied, if it doesn't matter what the chances are in terms of the tarovet, it shouldn't matter how many sfeikas you add. So therefore, let me show you that this sfeik sfeika is not going to change anything. And if the 40 were usher, so then the next mixture is usher too. Asks the Gemara on Shmuel, that is not true. Because take a look at a braita that says beferish not like that. Safek avodat kochavim is usher, but a sfeik sfeika of avodat kochavim is mutter. And it gives an example which is very similar to the case that we just had. Ketsa. So let's say we have a cup that was used for tashmishe avodas kochavim. So tashmishe avodas kochavim, whether it's in terms of noi, kishutim, or the types of kalim that you use to do the avoda to the avoda zara, let's say the mizrak, a kos filled with blood that you pour out, those are all aser bahana'ah. If one of those kosot falls into an entire treasure house, lo tzar male kosot, so you've got a whole garage full of cups, and you're in the cup business, and one of these cups become mixed in with 100,000 of the other cups, they are all usher, because as we said before, we had the Mishnah Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah does not become mutter, no matter how many it falls into. Now, what if one of those actually falls into another group? So it falls into 10,000. And one of those falls into yet another group of 10,000. So the din over here is that, first of all, since it's a sfeik sfeika, maybe the usher cup never even fell into the first 10,000. And even if it did, maybe the one that fell in here is not from that one. And therefore, as is clear, as Tosis makes clear, it doesn't require the second one to fall in. And remember, this was the question that we had earlier about whether we should be geres, that it fell first into one mixture, and then from there fell into another mixture. So as Tosis points out over here, if the din is based on sfeik sfeika, you don't need to add the second cup, because even the first one is a sfeik sfeika. It could be that the kos that was usher that had fell into the otsar never fell into this second group. And even if it did, who's to say that the one that I picked out was from there at all? So why do we say, bedavka, that it fell from one and then it fell into the other? That's only coming to tell me that you should realize that you can't use all of the cups. Because if you use all of the cups, there would only be one suffix. So mamela, we want to bring out, in the case that it fell into another mixture, you can even use all of them. That's the point. Kulam mutarot. So we're trying to make that difference by adding this additional case. So anyway, it's very clear that this is against what it was that Shmuel was complaining about the case of Rav. Shmuel was tining. There's no difference between a suffix and a sfeik sfeika when it comes to avodas kochavim. And the Braita says, absolutely spells it out as clear as day, that there is. Suffix is usher, sfeik sfeika is mutter. Says the Gemara, you're absolutely right. This braita is conclusively against Shmuel, but it's not a problem, because there is a machlokas tanoim about the difference between suffering and sveika. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, these rimonei badans. You remember the case of the rimonei badan we spoke about, which according to the Chachomim, those are the shisha dvarim, the special kinds of rimonim, or the chaviot, or the stumot, or the egozei perech, and so on. All those things. So take one of them. All right, let's take the rimonim. These rimonei badan, says Rabbi Yehuda, are usher no matter how many they're mixed in. The whole thing is usher. So kesa. Let's say one rimon badan falls into 10,000 normal mutter rimonei badan, and this the one that fell in was Orla, and then one of that 10,000 fell into another 10,000, umiribo laribo, all of them would be usher, even though when it fell into the second one, it's a sveik sveika. Did this one that I just picked up, is it one of the ones that was originally here, or is it one of those that fell in? And even if it is one of those that fell in, is the one that comes from that mixture the one that was originally usher or not? So Rabbi Shimon, Ben Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, only into one ribo, because it's only one suffix, then they're usher. But if one of that 10,000 falls into another three, or from that three, one falls into yet another three, the deal is that they would all be mutter. And that basically is true, as Tosfos pointed out before. Even the first group of three would be mutter. The point is that all of them would be mutter in the last group of three. Okay. So what do you see? That according to Rabbi Shimon, we would say that Sveik Sveika is actually bottle, and if you don't hold like that, then Sveik Sveika was actually mutter. So we had this machlokas between Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, you're telling me so it's a machlokas tanayim, but you don't answer Shmuel by telling me this, because Shmuel is not going to either of these shitas. He's not going like Rabbi Yehuda, and he's not going like Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, who said in the name of Rabbi Shimon. Because, look, this entire braita was talking about what? Rimonei badan, an issur of orla. It was not talking about avodah zarah, right? Now, if you take a look back at what Shmuel said, what did he say? He said, "Hanach l'avodas kerchovim, don't give me this stuff when it comes to the din of avodah zarah. Avodas kerchovim is uniquely chamur, and therefore, it doesn't matter how many sveikas you would add." Now, you tell me, who holds that? Nobody holds that here, because here we're not talking about avodah zarah. So who did Shmuel say it according to that you're saying? I'll answer Shmuel, because it's a machlokas tanoim. And Shmuel is going according to whom? He says avodah kerchovim is usher, even if it's a sveik sveika. Is he going aliba to Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda holds a sveik sveika is usher, even a rimone badan of orla. So don't give me this stuff, anach avodah zarah. He's not following Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda said afilu b'shari surim is also usher in the case of sveik sveika if it's chashim. And if he's going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon didn't make any difference between avodas kerchovim or anything else, as I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you soon. And he held that even avodas kerchovim is mutter in the sveik sveika. So you have not contributed even one step towards a solution for Shmuel. This braita is conclusively against Shmuel, no matter who you hold like. And don't try to tell me that according to Rabbi Shimon, this din of sveik sveika was limited to rimoni badan of orla and not to avodah zarah, and that actually Shmuel knew that Rabbi Shimon was mechalik between avodas kerchovim, shiny leila Rabbi Shimon, ben avodas kerchovim, where of course he agreed with me, Shmuel would say, that it would not be batel in a sveik sveika, and he was only talking about other isurim. So then, how do you explain the original Brita that we brought. The original Brita said, not like that. Safek avodes kochavim asura, sveik sveika muteret, right? That was the original kasha that we had on Shmuel. So who, according to you, said that? Rabbi Yehuda didn't say it, and Rabbi Shimon didn't say it. Because now you're saying that Rabbi Shimon wouldn't have said his din by avodes kochavim, and sveik sveika, here it says, is muteret. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's true, this idea is nogea, even other Isurim wouldn't be batal in a sveik sveika. So who's it going to? Nobody. So Shmuel is coming up with his own shita. He's coming up with a shita that only avodah zarah is not batal in a sveik sveika, and everything else is. Says the Gemara, the truth is that really the Braita is going like Rabbi Shimon. And it's true what you said, that Rabbi Shimon is not mechalek between avodas kochavim and the case of Rimoni Badan of Orla. He actually is maskim that you can always rely on a sveik sveika to be matir. It's just that Shmuel agrees with Rabbi Yehuda binogea one din, namely binogea avodas kochavim. He says, look, there's a sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that's machmer on sveik sveika on Isurei Anah. I paskin like that when it comes to avodah zarah. There's a shita of Rabbi Shimon who holds that we're makel by sveik sveika. I paskin like him by other isurim, but when I don't paskin like him, but okay, avodah zarah. So he agrees partially with Rabbi Yehuda and partially not. He can paskin like that. So therefore, that's what we meant when we said it's a machlokas tanoim. Omar Mar, I didn't understand what you said before. You said, when you were telling over Rabbi Shimon Shita, if it fell from one out of the 10,000, falls into three, and then one falls from there into three, it's mutter. How did three get involved? What's three? What's the magic number three? The deal is that 2 to 1 is always going to be mutter if you hold its bottle barov. So why do you need 3 to 1? I don't understand why. If you're telling me we can rely on it because of the sveik sveika, so if you've got 2 to 1, that creates the same sveik sveika as 3 to 1 if you take one out. So why did they mention 3? Maishna shlosha. Because you've got a rove, right? So if you didn't have a rove, so then we wouldn't have been matir to be. This is an important yesod, by the way. Note. That we're combining two concepts over here, rov and sveik sveika. If we wouldn't have the rov, then the sveik sveika would not have been enough to be matirit for us. Why? Because if it was, let's say, 1 in 1, and then I would have said that the tarovas is considered to be kuloi iser, and therefore it's not a sveik sveika. So you would need 2 to 1. Since it's not kuloi iser, so now that creates a sveik sveika. Fine. Good. But why do I need 3? Shnayim nami ikaruba. No, when it said 3, it didn't mean 3 against 1. It meant 3 in total. It meant this falls into another 2. So now it's a group of 3. That's the point. V'ibayit ema. Now, there's 2 different ways of understanding this ibayit ema. The ibayit ema can be going back on what we just said. So, Ibayit Ema, you know why it says 3 to 1 and not 2 to 1? Because Shmuel holds like Rebbe Eliezer that you need to also have the Migu. So, when Rebbe Eliezer was Matir bringing all of the heads, remember, it was only when you also had the Migu that you were bringing 2 heads at a time. Same thing is true over here. You need 3 to 1 because he's only Matir if you're bringing 2. So it's got to be 2 that are left that are the sveik sveikas, and then you can bring those 2. So you needed to have a mixture of 3 to 1. That's one approach. The other approach is that the Ibayit Ema is going back on Shmuel, not on the Braita. And what is the reason that Shmuel said that it's what he said seems to be against the Braita? And he says that actually even a sveik sveika, when it comes to avodah zarah, is asur. He was going according to the shita of Rebbe Eliezer, which is not even mentioned in our Gemara at all, which is why Tosfos says this makes no sense, this approach. We never assume that the reader understands a Mishnah and Avodah Zarah when he's learning Zvachim. And if we never discussed it, then we would have said Ditnan. It doesn't say Ditnan. And we're now going to assume that you know about a Mishnah on Daf Memtes and Avodah Zarah, where over there there's a Shita of Rebbe Eliezer. In the famous case, we talked about this case, of course, when we learned there, that if you heated up an oven with the wood of Avodah Zarah oven, which is Asur Ba'anah, and then you cook bread, you bake bread in that oven. Remember, we had differences between Chadash and Yashan. If the oven is new, so then it's always going to be Asur because you made it into an oven by utilizing Avodah Zarah. If it's old, so then the heat from that heat up, which baked the bread, would Asur that bread. That was the discussion over there. And then it said over there that if one loaf falls into another 10,000, they mix with the other, they all become usher. But Rebbe Eliezer said, take one of the loaves of bread and throw it into the yam. And then everything is mutter. But up until then, it's usher. So when he was saying you couldn't be mutter, and he was going like that, Rebbe Eliezer. And that was the understanding in Shmuel, according to this approach, which Tosfos says, I don't believe that pshat for a moment. Rashi says, I actually prefer that pshat, although Rashi does bring as an alternative the meaning that the Ibai Seima is, why did the Mishnah need to say 3-1 instead of 2-1? So it's two very different ways of learning the Gemara. Very straightforward. Now, how about the question of chaviyot stumot? So we talked about the Rimone Badan. We talked about Avodah Zarah Chavim. Got an interesting case over here of Reish Lakish, where you have a barrel. Okay, so we said before, a barrel, a closed barrel, is not ever going to be bottle. It's the same as the Rimone Badan or a Gozle Perach. What if you have an entire barrel of truma? And this barrel gets mixed up into 100 barrels of kosher wine, meaning already taken truma from. So if one of those barrels fell into the yam, hutru kulam, they all become mutter. Again, this seems to be a repeat of the idea that we had before, which was Reb Nachman's din about the case of the ring that fell into the ring of Avodah Zarah that fell into the sea. That's how we started the whole discussion. It seems to be the same idea. Reb Nachman said, if one of the rings falls in, you could be Teilat. And here we're saying, if one of the barrels falls in, you could be Teilat, that the one that fell in was the Truma, and now the rest of it is kosher even for Zarim. Because since Midiraisa, it's the same basic idea. Since Midiraisa, Bitzpatul Barov. And the Chachomim were the one who were machmer on it. So because of that, if we have a basis, namely the basis of Teilat, to say that the Isser is no longer present, so we'll rely on that and we'll say the Isser is no longer present. So why do we need Reb Nachman and at the same time need what Reish Lakish just said? I mean, it's the same idea, right? Says the Gemara, no. We need Reb Nachman's psak legabi the taba'ot of Avodah Zarah, and we need Reish Lakish legabi the dinim of Truma. Because I'll tell you, if we only knew Reb Nachman, I would have said, look, he's got to find a way out for a mixture like this. I mean, what, are we going to really throw out all 10,000 rings? I mean, if we've got a way to prevent that from happening, then let's take it, right? There's nothing else to do. There's no way you can be matir these rings. But when it comes to truma, well, of course you can be matir the truma. Sell it to Kohenim. And what's the big deal? So you'll take a 10% loss. I mean, that's different than destroying the whole lot, isn't it? So I would have thought, look, Avodah Zarah Chavim, Ein La Matirin, there's no way to be matir it, so we're really stretching the envelope over here, and we're going to be matir it because of the fact that we're going to be Taylor, that the ring that fell was the one ring. But when it comes to the Truma has Matirin by selling it to Kohanim. So then, lo, then I wouldn't say let's rely on the one that fell in. And if, on the other hand, we would have only known the din of Reish Lakish legabe truma, hava min, I would have thought, well, look, if you're talking about a chavit, chavit's a big item. And if an entire chavit is missing, nobody's going to make the mistake of thinking, oh, I guess it was Bato Barov. No, they're well aware of the fact that there was a big splash made when that chavit fell into the ocean. So they understand that this was a special consideration, not because of Rov, but because of that big splash. Masha Einkein, it's there, it's Minkara Nefilata, but a ring that falls in, who notices one ring out of 1,000? And therefore, since Lo Minkara Nefilata, people may easily mistake the heter that the Rabbanon gave to just the fact that there's so many rings that it would be bottle, which is not true. So over there, we need to know that you can even there be semich on this idea of tailing, that the one that fell in was the Isser, and therefore we need both of it. Whereas Rabba says, the truth is, Reish Lakish was only matir, the case of the chavit, because it makes such a splash. But if, let's say, it wouldn't have been a chavit, it would have been a fig, he would never have been matir because no one would have noticed the fig. So according to this, it's mashma. This is a fascinating sugya. I'll just mention it on the side because according to this, it's mashma that Reish Lakish actually, what we thought before is that you need minkara nefilata, wouldn't have applied it to the case of the tabat. And, of course, as usual, the Rambam drives everybody crazy by paskening both halachas. So he's got this idea of Reish Lakish of the difference with the Te'ina, but he's matir the din of the Tabas that falls according to Reb Nachman. So this is like a rich place for discussion. What in the world? How does the Rambam understand this sugya? Because the Pashtus is it's going right back to the distinction that we just made about Minkara Nefilata Lagabi the Tabata Mabadazara. Classic Rambam, huh? As the Ravid says, you know, if I didn't know that this guy was so amazing, I would swear that he just does this to drive us all crazy. That's an amazing Ravid. Anyway. Amar Rabba, Solohit Reish Lakish al Chavit, but a Teina, no wait. Whereas Rabbi Yosef says, no, actually, even a Teina. Because, look, ask yourself, why did you aser this whole mixture? Because of one crazy fig that falls in? I mean, if a fig asers something, that means it's good enough to aser. So if it's good enough to aser, you recognized it as being so choshev that it's going to aser the mixture. So then it's good enough to be matir. Because kinefilata kach aliyata. So it turns out that the famous mimer of Reb Nachman Mibreslov is actually a machlokas Reb Yosef and Rabba. Do we say that since you believe you're so choshev that you could screw up the world, you also have to believe that you're so choshev that you can fix the world? If you're maiming that you could be mekalkal, so kosh can be maiming, you can be metakein. Masha Einkein, according to Rabba, we accept the fact that you can screw things up royally, but not that the same thing in falling out would fix them. It's not so pashitan. Thank God I have one or two people who at least smile. Ay, 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 ay. What can I do?
Okay. No, we're from Spola. We were very anti. I'm sorry.
Yosef Rabdimi, the Carmel al-Hashmat, Rabdimi was saying this over, as saying, well, apparently it makes sense to say, oh, no, wait, did I skip the, I skipped the Rabbi Elazar. Omar Rabbi Elazar, a chavi shel truma, shall not follow b'mea chavia. So remember that the din of bittel by truma is 100 to 1. But if we're talking about a chavit that is sealed, Ooh, then we're talking about one of the Shisha Dvarim that's never bottle, the Chaviyot Setumot. So what can you do? It'll never be bottle. What you can do is open up one of them. Now it's no longer a Chaviz. Sorry, it's no longer a Chaviz Setuma. And now you don't have the Chaviz Setuma, and you can assume that since it's no longer Chasher, what you need to do is take out the chelik that belongs to the Kohen. I mean, after all, one out of the hundred is the actual mumon of the Kohen. You can't steal from the Kohen. You can be mater the Isser Truma, but you can't keep his actual property. So give him his share of it, the one out of 100, which is kidei dimua, and then drink it. Why not? So Rav Dini was sitting there, saying over this, and Reb Nachman hears him, and he says, well, I see we've got a lot of dedicated drinkers here. Yes, indeed. I mean, if that's all you need to do, then the whole halacha falls apart. But, I mean, after all, we're not going to give up on all of that delicious beer, are we? So, because of that, I see we've got dedicated drinkers. Maybe we should award you with a little, one of those Scottish... What's the name of that beer that they give out? Those little... come on, guys. Oh, and sakes. Ah, there ain't nobody to talk to around here. I give up. Anyway, Gemar v'shati, I see we got dedicated drinkers, Chazino Hocha. You look good. That's ridiculous. Once you say such a halacha, so what's the point of talking about the din of Chaviyot Stumot? You'll always have one of our dedicated drinkers who will go ahead and open it, and now it's okay to drink. That's crazy. Of course, what you should have said properly is not that you can go ahead and open up one of these, but if one of them, let's say, fell and broke open, yes, then you could say that. Ela'ema niftecha achat mehem. If something happened and it got opened through nobody's desire to do so, then no telemenor kedei dimua v'shoteh, because it's no longer a chaviz setuma that isn't bottle. Omar Rabbi Yoshaya, let's take a case of a chaviz of stuma, of truma, shenitarva b'mea v'chamishim chaviyot. So let's say you have 150 to 1, and 100 of these become open, not because anybody opened it on purpose, but an accident happened, they opened. So then you take out the kidei dimua from it, and you can drink. So that means you have over here 151 to 1. Take out one out of the 151, and then you can drink. In those barrels, you can drink the ones that are open. But the rest of them are going to still remain usher until they open. Why is that? Why can't we say that the Isser already was opened? Because the rove were open, the 100 out of the 150 were open. Lo amrina nisura baruba Isser. We don't assume that we go according to the others. So even though we said before that in the case of the 60 and the 40 taba'ot that we do rely on that, that, remember, was because we said over there that we were referring to the Sveik Sveika that was relying on the fact that it wasn't in the Arboyan. But over here, we don't have that Sveik Sveika. It didn't fall into anything else. And it wasn't just the fact that it was split into 40 and 60 because we ushered both the 40 and 60. But over here, we don't have that. It didn't fall into anything else. So we're not going to rely on the fact that since some of them were already opened, you can rely that the rest of them are also mutter. That doesn't follow from the Gemara that we had before. Now, I think we have enough time to let me just finish up on the next little piece, even though it's the next part of the Mishnah. It's a new sugya, if you don't mind. Haroveya v'hanirva. So the next thing that we had were those animals that became usher only to the Mizbeach, not usher to anybody else. So there's no Isser Hano over here, And the Mishnah lists a lot of different cases where something would be usur for the Mizbeach, but mutter for a hedyot. And what's crazy is, one of these cases was a treifa got mixed in. All right, so we said, wait, yera'u ad sheyista'evu, wait until they get a mum, and then sell it, and so on. We didn't say sell it according to Rashi, but whatever. One of the cases was that a treifa was mixed in with other animals. Now, how the heck could a treifa not be identifiable? How could it get mixed? So understand all the other cases. They're talking about things that you can't see. So bishlam akula lo yadia, you can mix them. I mean, how am I going to know that this is kilayin? How am I going to know that this was born by cesarean section? Fine, I can't know. So it'll get mixed with other animals. But the treifa, either I can see it's a treifa, or how do I know it's a treifa in the first place? So bishlam akula lo yadia, understand all these cases make sense. But the treifa, echidomi. I mean, what's the case of a treifa getting mixed up with a non-treifa? If you can see the treifas and you know it's a treifa, so then take it out of the mixture. This is not a mixture. And if you can't spot the treifa now, how did you spot the treifa before? How do you know that there is a treifa here that's mixed? Army de Verabianai. We're talking about, let's see, we had two different animals that have a hole in the animal. Now, we know there was one animal that had gotten punctured by a thorn bush. A thorn bush that punctures is not considered to be a treifa. It's just, as long as it doesn't penetrate into the internal space and organs. But if a wolf comes along, and it uses its claws to make the same hole, it's a treifa. Because one of the things is drusas hazaev, and it's not because of the hole. It's because of the infection and reaction that's set up by the claws of the wolf. Now, we can't see that difference. All we see is a hole. So we've got two animals here, and we have no idea which one was the drusat hazaev, and which one was the nekuvas hakotz. So since I can't tell the difference, and one of them got mixed up, I don't know which one is the treifa and which one is not the treifa. Rish Lakish has got a different point. He says it could be talking about that there was a nefula. Now remember what a nefula is. A nefula means an animal that fell. This is the sugya and nechulin, exactly how high it would have to fall, and so on and so forth. But the animal falls, and the fall itself causes no evident external damage whatsoever. A nefula is one of the primary treifas. And so I can't see that from the outside, can I? And therefore, the din over there is that if it was shechted before 24 hours passed, so then even if I don't see any signs of a treifas internally, that is called risuk evorim, and it's like the equivalent of a concussion, a brain concussion. You don't see anything immediately in the brain, but the concussion itself could be fatal. So if you have a concept of risuk evorim, since we didn't give it its 24 hours, so mamela, it's going to be a not edible, a little treifa. If it did live for 24 hours, then you still have to go through all of the treifas and check it internally after you checked it, then it's mutter. But the point is that when it comes to a carbon, you're never going to bring this as a carbon because it was dochri. You're not going to bring something that may be a treifa to the Mizbeach and then say, well, it's okay, I'll check it afterwards to see whether it was a treifa. It's ridiculous. You're not makriv a treifa. So therefore, at this point, it becomes usur. And that's the case. There's nothing to do. But I understand, there's a different way to check it. If it is able to walk, so then at least there's a mandiyama who says that if, instead of waiting 24 hours, you make it walk, and it walks for Arba Amos, even if it stands according to some shittas, so then it doesn't even need a bedika. So then what's the problem? You can use all of these animals as long as you make them walk. I have a cousin, my cousin, Reb Zelig Zatzal. This is like the ultimate brisker chumras. They won't eat chickens unless they first make them walk. And then they shech them, which makes a heck of a lot of sense, because if you take a look at the way the chickens are handled in the cages are thrown from the truck all the time, right? So that's the question, whether it's inside something else that I consider to be a nefula. But lamaise, it's a kula. So they will not buy a chicken in the supermarket. They'll only buy a live chicken, make the chicken walk, and then shech it. So this is a very, very common, huh? Mordechai.
Kiryat Shmoni. In Kiryat Shmoni, they set up the slachthaus, so the chickens dafka have to walk more than four amos to get to the conveyor belt where they take, put them on the conveyor belt and shech them all.
Fantastic. And that's Rav Drori. Right. So I'll tell you a little story of Rav Drori. You know, the from people, they won't eat Rav Drori's heksha. Not good enough for them. It's not charedi enough. So I'll tell you a story. Every time I hear the story, I say, oh, the story brings tears to my eyes. So I get this, I get a delivery from Amazon. And this is in the Tanya. I get a delivery from Amazon, and the delivery company says, you know, here's the telephone number of the person bringing it to you, and here's his name if you want to check up on the delivery. Okay. So it says, the guy delivering it, his name is Avremelech. Avremelech, not Avram, Avremelech. All right. Interesting name. So I'm assuming Avremelech, I don't know, that must mean like some guy with long payas, and you know, who knows? I'm expecting an Avremelech. So the doorbell rings, guy brings the Amazon package. And he is the most completely non-religious person you've ever seen. A real redneck, total redneck. His hair is shaved. He's wearing like garbage. And okay, so he gives me the thing. And as he's walking away, I say, what's with the Avremelech? So he turns around and he says, do you really want to know? Or you're just asking? I said, no, I really want to know. He tells me this incredible story. Amazing. So he says, I'll tell you, I was the son of the chief rabbi of Kiryat Shmona before Rav Drori. My father died. I was 14 years old, and I was extremely angry at God. And I left. I had long payas, and I didn't look anything like I look today. And I left, and I go to a treif kibbutz, and I'm starting a new life at the age of 14, and I'm becoming not frum, and I become part of this kibbutz. So the kibbutz, they gave me the name of Avremelech to, you know, sort of make fun of the fact where I had come from. So I became Avremelech to them. They appointed Rav Drori as the new Rav HaRashi of Kiryat Shmona. He came to my mother, the almana of the previous Rav HaRashi, because he felt, you know, I'm taking over the job that her husband had. He came to my mother to be Menachem her and to you know, tell her, is there anything I can do for you? And my mother says to him, the only thing you can do for me is to rescue my child, who she told him over the story, and he's in such and such a kibbutz. And if there's anything you can do for him, that's what you can do for me. Rav Drori came to the kibbutz, rented a room, and moved in to the kibbutz to learn with me. And for a week, he sat there and he learned every day. He learned with me. First, he talked to me, about my hashkafas and my feelings. And then, after a week, I saw that I was ready to go back. So I said to him, if you promise to learn with me every day, I'll go back to Kiryat Shmona. So I did, moved back to Kiryat Shmona, learned every day, it's incredible, learned every day with Rav Drori, and it finally got to the point where it was time for me to get married. Rav Drori finds me a shidduch, I'm going to get married, and I look just like I'd looked before, you know. Oh, so I asked Rav Drori, they call me Avremelech. What do I do about my name? Should I change my name back to the way it was before? No, he says to me. A name is a very important thing. And the fact that they gave you that name, and this is where you came from, and now you've discovered a new life, your name is Avramala. Stick with the name. So when it came time for me to marry, so I told Rav Drori, look, I'm so grateful to you for everything, but honestly, I don't really feel comfortable in this Haredi, you know, dress, and I don't feel that way. So he said, whoever told you to dress like that? You dress however the heck you want. He wasn't wearing a yarmulke when he came over to my place. You dress however the heck you want. You do whatever you want. Just continue to make sure that you do all your mitzvahs, you do everything right. So I turned into what I look like today, he says to me. Now you think that I didn't daven today twice? You think I didn't put in my tefillin? He shows me his hands. Where he, see, you can still see the marks on my tefillin. So this shaygetz, is that a story of Rav Drori? Not good enough for a heksher. Amazing, amazing. So it's not surprising to hear that the chickens, chickens have to walk is a minor issue. But that we're talking about an amazing human being. Anyway, so I tell this guy, I'm so grateful to hear such a story. I give him a big bracha, you know, that he should be zeicha to live up to his names. And he's very happy. About 15 minutes later, I get a message from him on the WhatsApp that they had provided him. And the WhatsApp says, Yirbu kamotcha b'Yisrael ani ohev otcha. Amazing. Anyway, that's Rav Drori. Anyway, I think I messed up our time. It's like too late to keep you now. Let's just finish the next three words. So nefula, says the Gemara, what's the problem of a nefula? You could have it walk, and therefore it wouldn't be usher. So why can't we do that? And it would therefore not answer the issue in the Mishnah. You're telling me it's a nefula. So what are we supposed to be doing? You can have it walk. Is that where we were up to? I think so. Yeah. Nefula nami livdika. No, because Rish Lakish holds that if it lasts 24 hours, onda, and if it walked, it still needs the 24 hours. And if it walked alone, holcha, it still requires the bedika apni meat. So therefore, we cannot rely on it, and it's not going to be able to be brought to the Mizbeach, in which case it now becomes the fact that I make it walk is not enough, because I'm going to still need a bedika, which means I can't bring it to the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yirmiyah says it's talking about a vlad trefa, and it's going according to Rabbi Eliezer, who holds a vlad trefa is also to be brought in the Mizbeach. Obviously, I have to know that its parents were trefa, and if I don't, I can't look at it and say it's a trefa. So I knew that a vlad trefa fell in. How am I supposed to find it now? There's no way to find it. And the reason that we have these three different explanations is because they actually argue with each other. Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yirmiyah did not hold like Rabbi Yanai. Kulik Rabbi Yanai lo amri, because they say Rabbi Yanai's answer that we mixed up a hole made by a thorn bush and a hole made by a zev is not a good answer, because beni kuvata kotz drusata zev mina yediyah, you can easily see the difference. If you're an expert, the drusata zev is a long pull. Masha Einkein, a thorn is just round, so you can see the difference. Now, Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yirmiyah didn't want to say like Reish Lakish, because they don't agree. They hold if the animal can walk, it doesn't require me'ez li'ez. And if that's just if it's undone, if it actually walks, it doesn't need a bedika. So all you need to do is make it walk. Rabbi Yirmiyah lo amri, why didn't Rabbi Yanai and Reish Lakish want to say that it's talking about a vlad trefa? Because they didn't want to say the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Eliezer or the vlad trefa. That's not the way that we paskin. And so it's only a das yachid, and we didn't want to explain it that way.